Psalm 37, I want to talk to you for just a little bit about a good man down but not out.
Amen.
A good man down but not out. Before I read the scripture, I want to warn you about something, and Christians do this all the time. Don't judge somebody by today. Today. Look at the whole picture.
Right.
Look at the whole picture. Don't write somebody off because of what it appears they are today. Look at their past. Look at today. And then you can look forward to a future according to their past.
Amen.
And here's David, a good man. He wrote this psalm. And of all the people in the Bible, a good man. God loved him in a special way. He was a special man to God. And but he failed. And he got up. And he failed. And he got up. And he failed over and over. And he was a good man that was betrayed. He was betrayed. He was lied on. He was turned against and forsaken by all his friends and his family. A good man. You couldn't have judged him that day or any of those three examples I just gave you. You could not judge him before by what he was before that or after that. You got to look at the whole picture.
Amen.
Be careful when you say they ain't even saved. You don't know that. If they say they're saved, you take them at their word. Now, I might say, they don't look like they're saved. They don't act like they're saved, but I can't say they're not saved. And I might have called them on a bad day. And everybody has bad days.
Amen.
We have bad seasons.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
So this scripture is a good man that they couldn't keep down.
Amen.
Look here in Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
Amen.
And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now you gotta remember, evil is the kind of sin that hurts other people. Evil. And he says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Yet for a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Amen. David, who is probably one of the most successful believers in the Bible, and at the same time, in parts of his life, he was also one of the most defeated people in the Bible. He's a good example for all of us. Watch out, because pride go up before a fall.
Yes.
And watch, boy, I hate to hear it when some preacher says, bless God, he ain't even saved. Shut your mouth, preacher. You don't know if he's saved or not. You don't know if she's saved. You don't know her heart. You may just be in a bad time in their life, and that's all you're seeing right now. If you'll wait on, God will lift them up. God will lift them up. Amen. Because he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Okay. And so when I got to reading this, I got to just eight words jumped out at me. Just eight words. And I want to take those words and show them to you that David used to encourage himself in the Lord and encourage others. You see, David's just like any preacher. When I preach, I'm preaching to me. You get the benefit of me preaching to me. I don't sit around and think of people's names. Well, I need to get Holroyd on this one. Though I could. I don't. There's a lot of preaching on that one. But anyway, I don't do that. I find something that's good for me. For me. And then I share it with you. And it's good for you too. And here's David. He's writing this. And what he's writing is good for him. He's experienced this. So it's good for him. But God, the Holy Ghost, is having him write it down so that it will be good for you too. All scripture is good for you. All of it. All of it may not apply to you, but all of it's good to you. Amen. Now, number one, look at verse one. Fret. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fret not thyself. Fret. Don't get upset about it. Don't worry about it. Don't dwell on that. Don't lose sleep over that. Don't fret on that. That's probably not one of those words they use up north, is it? We still use that sometimes down here. Don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. And David said, don't you worry about those evildoers. And don't you be envious about those workers of iniquity and all those things. Because let me tell you something, they'll soon be cut down like grass. Let me leave, listen to this. If you'll just, don't fret, if you'll, look, when you fail or you fall and people attack you and accuse you and exaggerate it and lie and everything else, you know what you need to do? Don't fret about it. Keep on going. Keep on living for God. Keep on doing what you're supposed to do. And let me tell you something. You will outlive them. I promise you. You'll outlive those people. Those people are evildoers, and God said they'll be cut down. That means on purpose God cuts them down. Preacher, you think God kills people? Sure he does. My goodness, you ain't read the Bible if you don't think God kills people. Amen. He'll cut them down like grass, he says. And they'll wither as the green herb out there with no rain. It'll just dry up. And God won't rain the blessings on them. And they'll soon dry up. And you, a year from now, you'll say, wonder what ever happened to old so-and-so. You know, they hated my guts. You know, they talk bad about me all the time. And you look around and you won't be able to find them, Brother Jeffrey. Because God will not stand for it. He said, don't you fret about it. I'll take care of this. Yes. Amen? I love Sister Hazel. Every time she goes to the doctor now, and the doctor says, now don't worry, we're going to take care of Mr. Mitchum, and we're going to help him with his breathing, we're going to help him with his heart. And this is what she tells me every time. I ain't worried about it. God's got this. That's what she tells them. God's got this. I gave this to God. I'm not worrying about it. The little old woman done been through cancer surgery and survived and got all kind of health problems. And the man has been on death's door four times, pronounced to be dead. Call me to pray over him and pray over his family because he's going to die. Pray over him, anoint him with oil. God heals him, raises him up. And so every time that her husband's in trouble or some of her children in trouble, she'll say, don't worry about this. God's got this. You know what she's saying? Don't fret. Don't fret. The second word I saw was in verse 3. Trust. Trust. Trust in the Lord.
Amen.
That means put your faith in Him. Trust. Now, look, I got a car I trusted. I come out the other day and the battery was dead. And when I was younger, we had to jump them, push them, pump them, prime them, everything. You know, those old cars we used to get when we was poor. that old 1960-something model, you know, you had to push it, pump it, and prime it. Not like the one you tried to push at the post office, and those ain't made to push no more. But the ones that you used to could push. And I came out, and that thing wouldn't do nothing. And I looked down there, and my trunk, I had hit my button, you know, my trunk lid went up, so the light must have stayed on all night. And, boy, I fretted, and then I thought, what am I worrying about it? What am I worrying about? I got a car over there I can crank. I got a truck over there I can crank. What am I worried about? I don't need to trust in one automobile when we got four in the yard. I got four choices. I don't have to put all my trust in an automobile. Because if that one don't crank, I'll go to that one over there. Amen? Now, trust is when you put your confidence on something or someone else. And the Bible says don't have confidence in man at all.
Right.
You can't have confidence in the flesh. This flesh is corrupt. It's been corrupt since the day you were born. You've been fighting it. Don't sit there and act like yours isn't. You've been fighting this thing all your life, trying to make it do good.
Yes.
And then you got plans to do good, and you turn out doing wrong. You know what I'm talking about. We can't have any confidence in the flesh. So what are we going to do, David? People's attacked you. People have lied on you. People have destroyed your family. People have taken your kingdom. What you going to do, David? He said, I'm just going to trust the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. And as they escorted him out, when his own son took the kingdom away from him, and they escorted him out of town, old Shimei, I think his name was up there cussing him and throwing rocks at him. Yeah, he was running out. The man was up on a hill, and by the way, a man that David had rescued got up on that hill and followed him out of town, throwing rocks at him and cussing him. And one of David's soldiers that left with him said, just let me cut his head off. He was a Baptist. Amen. He was a Baptist. Just let me cut his head off. I'll shut him up. And David said, no, that may be God talking to me.
Amen.
That might be God. I'm just going to trust God. I'm not killing anybody. I'm just going to trust God.
Amen.
And sometimes somebody will come to you. They'll say, did you hear what old so-and-so said about you? And you say no, and then they tell you, and it breaks your heart. And then they say, what you going to do? You going to do something to get even with him, ain't you? No, I'm not. I'm just going to trust God.
Amen.
I'm going to trust God. Yeah, look, if I can trust him with my eternal life, I can trust him with anything.
There you go.
Amen.
Yes.
And then the next word I saw was this, delight, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight. Make yourself happy in him. Who was it that said, I think of myself happy? Look, delight in the Lord. Make that the thing, the activity that makes you happy, that fulfills you. Delight in the Lord.
Yes.
Some people, their delight is Carowinds. Their delight is a racetrack. Their delight is a movie. Their delight's a movie star or another person or some activity. He said, delight yourself in the Lord. Well, why would I want to do that? There's so much down here I can have. Look why he said you do that. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, if you'll study that, you'll read that and think about it, he's not talking about he's going to give you anything you want. He's already promised to supply all your needs from his riches and glory. He's not talking about material things. He said, I'm going to put desires in your heart. Some people, Benny Hinn thinks that that's another vacation mansion.
Right.
Amen. I mean, some of those TV preachers thinks that's another jet airplane. I've heard them say that. That's what they think that means. That's not what that means. He said, delight in the Lord. Look at it. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, once you find that he's the delightful one, he's the one that satisfies you, and you get your relationship right with him, he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Well, what's my desire? My desire is I delight in the Lord. And then if my desire is that I delight in the Lord, that gives me delight, then I want to do something for the Lord, see. Not me. I want to do it for him. So I saw that word, delight. Now, and I'm sure when y'all think of delight, you think of ice cream and milkshakes and banana splits. And is that place still open up there at the hospital?
Yes.
We'll stop by on the way home. And but that's not the kind of delight he's talking about. And then verse 5, I saw another word that jumped out at me. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit. You know what commit means? Lord, I'm going to follow you. Follow, follow, and that's what he means. You follow him. I've committed to that. You ever committed to something and somebody says, won't you just give up? You say, no, I'm committed to it. I'm not giving up.
Yes.
My wife and I went to the Lansford Canal State Park yesterday. Been a long time since been there, about a year, I guess. The water was so high, it was rushing. I've never seen the Catawba River that high. and it's just full of dirt and mud, you know. But coming down through there, if you know anything about Landsfall Canal, it's a canal that the Southerners was going to build to get cotton around all those rocks in the water down there, going down the river. And then, and they run out of money, and then later on during the Civil War, the Confederates took it up to finish it so they could get supplies around all those rocks down there. Because you can walk across the river there. Current strong, I wouldn't recommend it, but you can, holding on to those rocks stick out of the water that high. I'm talking about rocks sticking up this high right here. But you couldn't see a rock yesterday. Not one rock could you see. People come from all over the country to see those tiger lilies that grow out there in the water because the water's so shallow there. That is at the ford. The Land's Ford. That's why they call it Land's Ford Canal. The ford, you can walk across there. It's a ford. The water gets so low, that's where people used to cross the river right there. And tiger lilies are growing that ford because the water's so shallow. They're underwater about 6 feet right now. The water has come all the way up to the edge of the bank. All the way up to the, and that's about 6 feet higher than it normally is. So, we walked the path. We took our bicycles. I tell people I'm a biker. They say, well, you ain't got no tattoos. I said, wrong kind of biker. They say, oh, you wear spandex. No, nope, don't wear no spandex. That'd be nasty. Not doing that. I wouldn't want to see you in it, much less me in it. Look like two hogs going down the road on that bicycle. Let me tell you something. I shouldn't have done that. I was getting so serious. He said, now listen to me. We went down there with bikes going to ride the trail. There's one runs beside the river, right there on the river. And then you can come back up on the other side of the old canal, which is not finished. There's just parts of it during that trip. But the ditch is there where the canal used to be, and there's a path along. So we was going to ride our bikes down one side and come back up the other side. So we went down there, and I'd never seen anybody on a bike there. So I stopped in the little ranger room there, and my wife told me not to, but I did it anyway. And I said, can we ride bikes here? He said, nope. Bikes are not allowed. The path's not wide enough. People walk the path. I said, there's nowhere we can ride the bike? Nope. Nope, you can ride in the parking lot. So I went out and told her. She said, I told you not to go in there and ask. We could have just rode the bikes. Wouldn't have known any difference. And those lazy rascals never would have known that we rode the bikes. Huh? We did it before. I don't remember doing it before, but we did it before. We rode our bikes a lot of places. But, listen, I was committed to ride my bike, but I had to back off my commitment and walk it. Now, once we got to walking, it's about 2.5 mile round trip. Well, I have that, what do you call that, muscle disease runner? Planner peanuts or something. Yeah. Something to do with the muscle goes down the back of your leg and cross your foot. Well, I can't walk long. My feet hurt so bad I want to cry. I mean, it feels like somebody beat me across the feet with a baseball bat. But we got to walk, and I couldn't ride my bike, and I could tell my wife really wanted to walk that trail, so I committed to do it. So we got down there about 2/3 of the way done on the river trail. And my wife said, well, there's the canal trail. We can just cut and go back now. I said, no, we're going all the way to the end. And we went all the way to the end. And I hadn't been on that end since I was a kid. And we got all the way down the other end, tromping through the mud and everything else. And my feet hurt so bad I wanted to cry. And I sat down. I rested a while. And so we had to walk all the way. So I guess we walked 2.5 miles. I thought I was going to die. But I was committed to walking because I had one other choice. Tell my wife to go get both bicycles and bring one back to me. So I was committed. What else could I do?
Right.
there was nothing else I could do. I'd committed myself to the walk. I couldn't just sit there and die. I had to get back. So I had to commit myself to finish the walk. And the Christian life's the same way. I committed myself to the Lord. There's no place to turn around or sit down. It's a one-way path. There's not even rest stops on it. At least on that one, there's a couple benches. On the way to heaven, there's no rest benches. Amen? Preachers say, well, I'm going to retire. And I say, no, you're lazy. That's your problem. There ain't no such thing as retiring in the Bible. You need to refire. Amen? Commit. And he said, if you'll commit yourself unto the Lord. And then he said, if you'll trust in him. My goodness, there it is again. And he shall bring it to pass. He'll get you home.
Yes.
He'll take care of it. All you got to do is commit it to him. So here's what you do. David learned this a long time ago. Lord, I've been lied on. I've been hurt. My kingdom's been stolen. I'm having to work for heathens over here and fight their wars for. And God, I don't know what else to do. And God says, you just commit yourself to me and I'll get you home.
Ooh, amen.
And he did.
Yes, sir.
And then I want you to look at verse 7 there again. Rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest. Now, when it says rest, it doesn't mean cease all activity. It doesn't mean go to sleep. Rest in the Lord. That means lay in his arms. Let him do the work. You keep pressing on the upward way. And let him be the one that gives you new heights every day.
Wow. Yes.
You see, it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit, saith the Lord. The only way we can be a successful Christian is to rest in our faith in him. I'm not looking for another Savior. I'm not studying to find something wrong in the Bible. I'm not studying for another religion. I'm resting in the one I've got, and he'll get me to heaven because of that.
Amen.
And then verse 8. Cease. Cease from anger. Now, boy, there's a hard one. For independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, fire-breathing Baptists, that's a hard one. It's hard to turn the other cheek. It's hard not to get mad at people. You know what I'm talking about, Billy. I've heard your testimony. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Look, it's hard not to get angry with people. And the Bible says, if you do, don't let the sun go down on that. Don't you let the sun go down that. That'll eat you alive. Anger will hurt you more than the people that you're angry at. I've been deceived. I've been everything. And want to get mad. And the old flesh says, once you get even, you know things about them. Of all people, you don't want your pastor to tell things. And the very people that attacked me and hurt me and deserted me and all these things, if I told what I knew about them, J. Frank Norris, the first independent Baptist to pull out the Southern Baptist Convention at the turn of the century, the 20th century. In the early 1900s, J. Frank Norris pastored the biggest Southern Baptist church in America, and it was in Texas. I think it's Fort Worth or Dallas, one of the two. And he had a Bible college there, and he was an old-fashioned, barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling preacher. He would do things. He run up on a man out in the shopping area there in town one day and jumped on him and beat him to a pulp. Yeah. He kept a gun in his desk. And eventually he shot a man. A man come into his office was going to kill him. The man had a gun. As soon as he saw him, he reached in his desk and shot him. And got away with it. But one night, this kind of guy he was. One day, he called the local reporter to the paper, big paper. And he said, I want you to come over here to my church. There's some things I need to tell you. And the reporter came over and they talked, why? He said, well, Pastor, what is it you call me over here for? He said, Sunday night, I'm naming names. He said, I'm going to tell who's sleeping with who. I'm going to tell who's embezzling. He said, I'm going to tell who the biggest liar in this town is. I'm going to tell who the biggest crook is. Remember his First Baptist Church, his church had 8,000 members back then. That was a mega church. He had the bankers, he had the lawyers, he had the judges, they all came to his church, and he was going to expose every one of them. So many people came to church that night, they couldn't get them in. They couldn't get them in. Because they knew things too, they just wanted to know if he was going to tell it. And he got up, and he preached against sin, and he named every sin in the book, and he said, and it won't be long, at the judgment seat of Christ, we give him names. And they said, you could hear a sigh go, shh. But of all the people to make mad, you don't want your pastor. You don't want to make your pastor mad. I could destroy some people. But he says, cease from anger. Now that tells me you're going to anger.
Yes.
Right.
You're going to anger. You can't help it. Everybody angers. That's our nature.
Amen.
When somebody hits us, we want to hit back.
Yes.
Whether it's word or deed, we want to hit back.
Yes.
Ain't right, Bonnie? She's got that old-fashioned anger. You better watch out for Bonnie. Amen.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. He said, stop that. Stop that. Now he knows we're going to do it. But he says, all right, now you did it. Stop. Stop that. And then look what he says. He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Run away from it. Wrath is when you want to slap somebody. You ever just wanted to slap somebody in Jesus' name?
Yes.
I just want to slap you in Jesus' name. I just want to put a good one on you. Amen. I want to knock you halfway to next week. Amen. You ever felt like that? Amen, 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 or oh me, oh me, oh me, oh me. But he said, look, he said, now you cease from that anger and you run away, you forsake that wrath, don't you do it? Fret not, there it is again, thyself in any wise to do evil. Now sometimes you gotta stand up for what's right, but you don't have to do it in an evil way. Remember I said evil is a sin that hurts somebody else on purpose. There's some evil people in our churches that hurt other believers on purpose. They know what they're doing. Sister Betty said she invited a lady to church one time. This lady said, where you go to church? That Cornerstone Baptist Church. Whose church is that? Pastor Ron Rice. She's like, oh, he's done been in every church in town. Well, I haven't. I'm glad she feels I'm that popular. But I had never met her in my life. I didn't know nothing about her. Why would she do something like that? That's just evil to talk about people you don't know nothing about.
Yeah.
Amen. And then, here's another, listen, here's what's going to happen if I fret not. I trust in the Lord. I delight in Him. I commit my way to Him. I rest in Him. I cease from sin because of Him. I forsake sin because of Him. Look at verse 9 and 10. This is the results and I'm through. For evildoers shall be cut off.
Yeah.
God will kill them. God will kill them. Don't you think God won't kill them? Read your Bible.
Yeah.
God will kill them. And evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you're going to outlive them. You're going to outlive them, and you'll get your reward for it. Then verse 10, for yet a little while. Now, what does that mean, a little while? Well, if a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day, it might mean 500 years. It might mean 100 years. Or it might mean one day.
Yes.
Or it might be 1,000 years. We don't know. With God, time means nothing. It's just a little while to Him. Amen. He said, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. They're going to be gone. Then what you going to fret about? What you gonna get mad about then? Amen. What you gonna worry over then? Amen. And a little while the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. In other words, you can look around for them, they'll be gone. Wonder what happened to old sister so and so. I don't know. Last time I saw her, she was accusing our other sister of this and that. Wonder what happened to old brother so-and-so. I don't know, but I heard he cheated our other brother out of money. Bought a car, sold him a car or something, cheated him out of money. Well, where they at? I don't know. They're gone. God took care of it. You see, David knew God would take care of it. David lived in a cave while he was waiting on God to take care of it. David lived in a foreign land while he was waiting on God to take care of it. Hey, David served heathens while he was waiting on God to take care of it. And then finally God sent word, you can come home now, David. And the heathen king told him, said, you need to go home. And he went home and was received as the king again. And then he goes down in history as the greatest king that Israel, if not the world, ever had. Because of 8 words. Now I want to be, if I can be just that much as good as David, just if I could just be good enough to touch the hem of his garment, I think I'm doing pretty good. You say, well, you ain't much, Brother Ron. No, I'm not. Pray for me. I'm not. I ain't worthy to take the shoes off of Jesus' feet. I ain't worthy to be in his presence. But guess what? I'm going to not fret. I'm going to trust. I'm going to delight. I'm going to commit. I'm going to rest. I'm going to cease. And I'm going to forsake. And one day when all that evil crowd is gone and burning in hell, I'll be dwelling in heaven with my Lord. This ain't heaven, y'all. This is the closest thing to hell we'll ever know. Wait on the Lord. Be patient. He'll bring it to pass. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired, infallible word. I pray some people got a blessing tonight, a little encouragement. And Lord, I pray if there's one watching, I believe everybody in here is saved. If they're not, they could get saved tonight. But I pray if there's one that's watching on Facebook Live tonight that they're not saved, Lord, and they're struggling and they're angry and they fret and they worry and they're trying to do everything they can to find some peace. And Lord, they're looking to the wrong places. And I pray they'd look up tonight, look up to Jesus, look and live. Look and live. And they'd call on him and ask him to save them and to give them the peace that passes all understanding. And then, Lord, for our enemies, and I don't have anybody I consider an enemy, but there are people that consider me their enemy. And I pray for them tonight, God, that you save them. Lord, save them. Do good to them, Lord, save them. But, Lord, if they won't get saved, I know one day you're going to cut them off. So I pray you troublers sleep tonight. Don't let them eat or sleep or work or play without thinking about their lost condition. And then save them and they'd be a brother or a sister instead of an enemy. Lord, do it, please. Our nation's full of these people. God, help us. Our churches are full of them. Help us, Lord. And help us remember this week, because the old devil's going to try us this week. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Come on, hold up.